to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, February 4th, 2018.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel today, we meet Jesus at, I think, one of the early turning points of his earthly ministry. He has begun, having been baptized by John the Baptist, he's begun his earthly ministry, and he has been teaching and healing and casting out demons, and it's going well. It's going really well. Crowds are forming. People are excited to see these miracles and to hear the good news that Jesus is proclaiming. But then Jesus begins to wonder, is this what it's all about? People are just flying. I could just stay right here and I could just be Jesus the miracle man and people would come. We could set up, you know, a tent and sell tickets and it'd be fantastic. And so he does what he does so often in the gospel. He goes away by himself to pray and to gain some clarity. And he realizes that his mission is about more than miracles. It's about sharing the good news with the other towns. I was thinking about this journey because I think so often our lives are meant to be patterned on the life of Jesus. We face perhaps not the same struggles as Jesus, but he gives us kind of a template that we can use, I think, in our spiritual lives. I remember some years ago, I was going through a phase of kind of burnout. I don't know if you've ever gone through this, where you're just working and spinning your wheels so fast, but you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. That's how I felt, and I was really beginning to question whether I should stay in the ministry or whether I shouldn't do something else. And fortunately, you know, God is good. I was invited to a retreat the church pension fund offered because they were precisely worried about clergy burnout and, you know, clergy who were drinking too much and all kinds of problems. So they had a week-long retreat for clergy to gain clarity about their lives. And you worked on your spiritual life and your financial health and your physical health and your vocational health, and you had people there to help. It was really a fantastic week. And at the end of the week, you come up with a plan for your life for the next few years. What are you going to do in all those areas? And the plan was good. It helped me for a while. But what really happened during that week that was deeply profound for me was that for one of the few times in my life, I really heard God speak to me. And I got three words as I was praying about this plan and what am I supposed to do. And the three words were these. I don't know if I've shared this before. You would probably get three different words, but these were the three that I got. Simplify, focus, and grow. Now, that seems fairly straightforward, but it hit me like a ton of bricks because I realized one of the things that was causing me to feel a sense of burnout was that I like every new thing and every new idea, and every new program, the bright, shiny object. I'm like the dog on a walk that has to chase every squirrel and every leaf that's blowing down the road. And I realized this was really preventing me from experiencing the abundance of God and living out my vocation, that I needed to simplify my life and to focus on the things that were really important and the things that I was really called to do. And only by simplifying my life and focusing on what was really important would I experience growth. And that growth came in many ways, spiritual, vocational, personal, all kinds of ways. I thought about that as I thought about Jesus, because I think that's what Jesus was doing in this gospel. He went away by himself to simplify things, to get away from the demands of the disciples in the crowd. You notice the disciples are always highly anxious. If he leaves them for a minute, they chase him down in the gospel. They were hunting for him. What a word, hunting for him, because they just couldn't bear it. But in that simplification, in that moment of solitude, that's when he was able to focus and gain clarity about his mission. No, I'm not supposed to stay here and sell tickets and be the miracle man. I'm supposed to go to all the towns and to share the good news of the kingdom of God. And once he was clear about his focus, then his ministry really took off. It was a turning point moment for him. This week, my wife and I went to see, we've been trying to see a lot of the Oscar-nominated movies, which are really good this year, but one of my favorites was The Darkest Hour. I don't know if you've seen that yet. One of my favorite characters in all of history is Winston Churchill, and it's a movie in some ways about the same thing. It just focuses on him for a very brief moment of his life, right at one of the critical turning points, not only for him personally, but for Great Britain, and I would argue for the world. A time when he's going through tremendous personal doubt, when things seem, as the title says, at their darkest as they could possibly be. Hitler is marching across Europe unchecked, and America is not yet able to intervene or to get involved. And Churchill feels tremendously alone. He is a tremendously unpopular figure in many ways. People saw him as a warmonger. They saw him as a failure because of his disastrous leadership in World War I, in the Battle of Gallipoli. And he's sort of the last chance person to become prime minister after Neville Chamberlain's obsequiousness to Hitler. And he comes onto the scene, and the movie is really about his kind of clarity. How did he simplify things? How did he gain focus? And then how was he able to lead during such a critical and pivotal moment for Great Britain? There's some wonderful scenes in the movie. I hope you, if you haven't seen it, I hope you get a chance to see it. But it was very inspiring to watch this journey, this personal journey of his. I don't know how much is absolutely factually true, but it was neat to kind of get a window or to imagine a window into his mind and into his heart. I think we all face our turning points in our lives. They come at various points in our lives. They come in youth, they come in our adulthood, they come as we prepare for retirement, and then as we prepare for the end of our life. All these turning points offer us opportunities and challenges and many distractions. We can feel pulled apart just like Jesus was. And I would offer that the pattern that Jesus sets is one that's really helpful. And with apologies to St. Paul, I want to say I don't think it's always best for us to be all things to all people. I think sometimes it's about gaining focus and clarity about who we are and what we're supposed to do. I really think it's one of the secrets of a happy and fulfilled life, to know what we're good at, what God has called us to do, what our spiritual gifts are, what our passions are, and to put those to work for the benefit of the world. There is nothing more satisfying than that, to know what we're supposed to do and to do it fully, joyfully, and generously for the well-being of the community and the world. It's a pattern that Jesus set for us over 2,000 years ago, and it's a promise that when we are rooted, particularly in our relationship with God, that energy will be renewed within us. I love that passage from Isaiah. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. I had a parishioner many years ago who was a social worker, and he spent his life helping people. He was one of those deeply caring people with no boundaries whatsoever. And he went through lots of periods of, I see Virginia, you probably know people like that, who just exhaust themselves trying to help everybody. And he was completely burned out when I met him. And he came to the church because his wife dragged him. She was an Episcopalian. He was a Methodist. And he began to get connected to the church. And he told me after about a year of being there, he said, Eric, and he had retired from his practice, he said, you know, I'm doing a lot of the same things I was doing in my social work career, but I no longer feel burned out. He was working in the soup kitchen. He eventually ran the soup kitchen. He was doing all kinds of stuff. He said, you know, and I've tried to figure out the difference. And he said, in the old days, I tried to do it all with my own power and under my own steam. And he said, now I'm doing it with the power of God. And it makes all the difference. It's helping me to be renewed and joyful. That's what I pray for all of us, that we find out through those moments of reflection and prayer what we're supposed to do, what God has given us to do, and that we're enabled by God's grace to do it with all our might, joyfully, in a way that fulfills us and is a blessing to the world. And that we can, in that, continue to be renewed by the grace and power of our amazing God.